Okay, guys, what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 1, the Gospel of John, the first chapter. So this morning, I want to share with you some thoughts about Christmas, because in just a few days here, we're going to have Christmas Eve, and of course, of course, Christmas morning is going to be coming, and the celebrations, the family gatherings. Maybe you've already been involved in family gatherings and so forth, and this is just the festive time of the year. And what I find is, and this is true with me, is that somehow in the midst of the celebration and in the midst of all of what's going on, I know why we're doing this. I know we're celebrating the birth of Jesus, but I kind of forget why. I take it for granted, I should say it that way. It's not that I forget. I take it for granted why we celebrate. And then as, you know, this, especially this week, the last couple of weeks, as I was thinking about what would I share this year at Christmas, my thoughts went to John, the first chapter, because John, the first chapter, to me, is a Christmas passage. You say, it doesn't seem like a Christmas passage. You're going to see that in a moment. But yeah, it is. It's kind of a bigger picture of Christmas. And I think sometimes you and I need to have a bigger picture of Christmas, because it's more than just about Mary and Joseph going to Bethlehem, finding no room in the inn, having a baby in a manger, and the baby Jesus. It's more than just that. There's a bigger story. There's a bigger reality, and it has implications for you and I. It's about the baby who would become a man, but it's about the baby who's always existed. And that's what John's going to tell us here. So we're going to look at, for the all, most of chapter 1, we're going to look at that together, except for one section concerning John the Baptist. I want you to notice with me. Here is what John writes. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Look at verse 9. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet, the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This is he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' For from his fullness we all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is made at the Father's side. He has made him known." All right, folks, what I want to focus on today is the reality that Jesus Christ came. Now, why is that significant for you and I? For some of you here today, I think it's really important that you and I understand that God really wants to have a relationship with you. I think we miss that. We just assume I'm saved, I'm forgiven, I can do whatever. I've got the eternal life thing going on later when I go to be with him. I want you to understand that when we celebrate Christmas, it is an event that is so significant, because the reality is that God wants to have a relationship with you. So he came. It kind of, to me, it harkens back, as I was thinking about this passage, I was thinking about Genesis chapter 3. Now, what, Genesis chapter 3, George, why were you thinking about that? That's the passage about the fall. That's the passage about Adam and Eve sinning and the big problem that was created for all of us. Why would you think about that when you're thinking about Christmas? Well, the reason why I was thinking about that is because in that passage, it talks about the Lord coming to them in the cool of day in the garden. He came to them and said, "Where are you?" There it's expressing God's desire for a relationship with humanity. Now, of course, Genesis 3 reveals to us that they really messed it up. And so they were cast out of Eden, not allowed to go back anymore. Of course, death enters into the world. Every human being afterwards is born in rebellion and sin against God. But that desire to be with us is still there. And that's why we celebrate Christmas. Yes, I enjoy the ham. I enjoy the food. I enjoy the snacks and the celebration. I enjoy being with family. I enjoy all aspects of it. I enjoy the gifts, which by this age is deciding with your wife, what do we need? And buying that, oh, that's my gift for you, and that's your gift for me, okay? So, I mean, that's just the reality. I enjoy the gifts. But that's not what Christmas is about. Christmas is about God coming to us. And that's what we see in this passage. So I'm going to help you to understand what this passage is trying to convey to us. So first of all, in the first section, verses 1 to 5, I'm going to talk about the eternal reality. I want you to think far beyond just simply a babe in the manger. I want you to think about who that babe really is. So let's take a look here. First of all, he says this, verse 1 and 2. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Now the Word here is referring to Jesus. Jesus was from the beginning. He has always existed. So here's what I'm saying. Jesus has always existed in relationship to the Godhead. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was Jesus. Notice what he says. In the beginning was Jesus. Jesus was with God, and also Jesus is God. So when we talk about this babe, because we get, I mean, you know, we were just at a family gathering and there were little ones there. I mean, like little ones, 6-month-old babies and so forth. And it's like, man, it's very precious to see babies. And we think in terms of the baby Jesus, but I want you to think in terms of a greater reality. I want you to think in the terms that this is one who has always existed, and he had this intimate relationship within the Father and the Son in the Godhead. He's always existed, and he's relational. I think that's the key point here. He's relational. Here's the second thing I want you to see here. He isn't just in relationship with the Father and the Spirit and always existed. John reveals something to us about who he really is. I want you to look with me at verse 3. Here's what he says. All things were made through him, and without him, not anything made that was made. What are we seeing here? Jesus is creator and the basis for everything. So when you wrap your brain around that, the little one in the manger who would grow up to be the man who would then be crucified, that one is the one who created everything. We're celebrating him coming in human flesh. But he's always existed, and he was the creator. And why anything exists is because of him. Because he's the basis for everything. Here's the third thing I want you to see about the eternal reality. Look at what it says, verse 4 and 5. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Third thing I want you to see, Jesus is the life and the light of men. And the darkness doesn't overcome it. Now, we've been talking about darkness in the morning messages as we've been going through 1 John about the world system and the world dominated by Satan and the culture that is anti-God and the darkness that everything exists in. But he is the light. He is the life for you and I. And that darkness can't comprehend it. You say, okay, George, thanks for the theological lesson. Where are you going with this? Because I thought, you know, we're talking about Christmas and about Jesus. Well, before we get into the next section, verses 9 through 18, I wanted to lay a foundation for you. John's laying a foundation for us to understand who Jesus really is. And what I want to do is help formulate in your mind why Christmas? Why being born in a manger? Why coming in lowly circumstances? Why? Okay, so here's what I want you to understand. So what we're talking about here is that's just not no ordinary child. That's God, the Creator. And he chose to take on human flesh and come among us. The one who's always existed and will always exist. And so you got to ask yourself, the next logical question is, well, why would he do that? Why would he come among us? He's the light. He is the life. Everything exists because of him. Why would he come? Because he loves us. Because he wants a relationship with you and I. I want you to think for a moment with me. Because here's the thing. Here's what happens sometimes. We get so busy with our lives. We get so busy, especially this time of year. We're worried about Amazon says that my package is going to be here on Tuesday. Am I going to get it in time? Hope that strike doesn't affect me. Oh, maybe I can find it at Walmart and beat the crowd there. I mean, we start thinking about everything else, and then it's like it's totally oblivious to us about the whole issue of God and the reality that God wants a relationship with us until, of course, we face some kind of crisis, and then immediately from us flows, okay, well, where are you, God? Why are you letting this happen to me? Don't you love me? How do we get there? Well, we forget things. We forget that, yeah, he loves us. So much so that he sent his son Jesus to come among us, to leave heaven and come among us. When you think about who it is that came, that's what the whole premise of this first part is. The eternal reality that God himself came among us. That should blow your mind. Well, then that brings us to verses 9 through 18. Because what we're going to see is what he did for us. What was he doing? His effort. I want you to see with me. Look at me. First of all, verse 9 and 10. We're going to look at five things here. Five things that just talk about the reality. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. Here's the first point I want you to see. Jesus came to the world he created, and it did not recognize him. Isn't that sad? The God who created everything decides He's going to come to our world. And we didn't recognize him. Still don't recognize him. Oh, there's some people that say, oh, he's just a great teacher, a pathetic figure from history who ended up on a cross, a rebel. It's all kinds of things are being said about him, but nobody really grasps the reality. Even among Christians, especially this time of year, we focus on the baby Jesus. No, how about focus on the Creator came? But we don't recognize him. Once again, God, like he did in that garden back in Genesis 3, coming into the cool of the day in the garden to meet with Adam and Eve, where are you? He's coming among us. He so intimately wants to have a relationship with you and I. He comes among his own. They don't recognize him. That to me is sad. Do you know what I mean? That is so sad to me that the one who did everything, and it's not like he didn't show people. I mean, think about it for a moment. When you think about how the Gospels reveal his life, the Gospel of John and Matthew and Mark and Luke, about the things that he did, like what? Well, making the blind to see. Nowhere else in Scripture is that recorded except Jesus doing that. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not in the Old Testament. Now, the Old Testament talked about the one who would come who could do that. Raising the dead, healing sickness, casting out demons, calming the seas. He was showing us who he was. But we didn't want to know. Here's the other thing. I want you to notice with me. He says this in verse 11. Look with me. He says this. He came to his own, and his own people did not recognize him. Now, who's his own? His own were the Jewish people. His special people. Remember, he called them through Abraham out, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He made a covenant with them. They were the apple of his eye. They were his own people. They were the ones he was supposed to be coming for. Remember, all of the prophets talked about the Messiah who would come for his people. And he came among his own. And here's what I'm saying. He came to his own special people, but they rejected him. They rejected him. You know, when I read that and I think about it, it's real easy sometimes in my pride to say, oh man, how could they do that? Don't they know who it is that's coming to them? But then I realize as I think about it a little bit more, sometimes I think we need to get beyond our initial reaction and think a little bit more. And when I think a little bit more, I'm thinking, yeah, you do the same thing, George. He comes to you every day in your time with him. He comes to you as you go throughout the day, and he gives you thoughts, and he tells you, don't do that, don't do this, do that, call this person, take care of that, and what do? I ain't got time for that. I've got to think about something else. And I reject him. Now, the rejection they're talking about here in this passage is a rejection of who he was as a person and not wanting anything to do with him that ultimately resulted in him going to the cross. But the fact is he came for his people. Again, an expression of the intimacy that God wants to have with his people. So can we stop for a moment? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? That's really the first question you need to ask yourself. Have you come to a place where you have committed your life to him? You say, yeah, George, I did that, but you know what? I screwed up on the way. I'm not talking about the screw-ups along the way. I'm asking, have you come to a place where you realized who he was and you decided to follow him? Screw-ups and mess-ups happen in life. Do you understand what I'm saying? But the reality is you recognized who he was and you came to him and you said to him, I want to follow you, Jesus, whatever form that took. Here's the reality. When you did that, we're going to see that in a moment what happens there. You entered into a relationship with him. The Spirit of God inhabits you. And you now have a relationship with him, and that's what he wants. He wants the intimacy with you. Well, that seems like a crazy way to go about it, George. I mean, coming as a baby, living a human life. No. I think it actually makes a lot of sense, because when you go to Hebrews, it talks about the fact that he was tempted as we are, yet without sin. He really did leave human life. He really understands what you and I go through. So when he comes to us, he understands exactly where we are. So notice now the third thing he's pointing out to us here as we look in the passage. Look with me at verses 12 and 13. Here's, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of man, flesh, or the will of man, but of God. Those who embrace him become his children. See, that word receive might throw us. What does he mean by receive? Well, think about that for a moment, okay? So we are, of course, Lori and I are empty nesters right now, okay? And because of that, when we have our kids come to visit us, and they are over the next few days because it's Christmas, there is excitement in our house among mom and dad. We have our kids, okay? So when they come, we receive them. And that's just not some abstract term like we receive. No. We are embracing them. We are welcoming them. There is an intimacy involved there with having our kids come back. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so he's saying the same thing. When you and I, with the one who comes, those, even though everybody else is rejecting him, when you and I receive him, that is, when you and I realize who he is and we like, oh, come Jesus, and we embrace him in our lives. Hopefully that happened. Hopefully at some point that happened. You became his children. Paul talks about we were adopted. You became his child. Isn't that awesome? I mean, so think about it. It's more than just that he came, okay? So, because we can say, oh yeah, he came as a babe, and yeah, that's great. But he didn't just come just to come. He came to have relationships. And those who realized who he is, when they embraced him, he wanted to make sure that you were forever his. And you became his child. Isn't that awesome? It just blows my mind. Just blows my mind. So are his children. Look with me at verse 14 and 15. So here's what he does. So when he comes, he embraces us because we've received him. He shows us something. Here's what it is, verse 14 and 15. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. The glory is of the only Son and from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me. Here's what I want you to see. Jesus showed us the glory of the Father. You know, I have a simple answer. Sometimes people are like, I don't understand how God, why does God act that way towards me? How do I know that he loves me? All you have to do is look at Jesus. There isn't a difference. You want to see the glory of the Father? Look at the glory of Jesus. And boy, was he glorious, wasn't he? You want to know how Jesus handles people who are caught in sin? Read the Gospels. You want to know how he deals with hypocrites and religious people? Read the Gospels. Completely opposite. You want to see love? Read the Gospels. See Jesus. You want to understand who God is? See Jesus. Because when you see Jesus, you see God. And this is what he shows us. This is the reality. And then finally, here it is. Listen, it is from Jesus that we receive abundant grace. Here's what he says. Look with me. Verse 16. For from his fullness we have received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. This is Jesus. And what does Jesus give us? Grace. How much grace, George? Grace upon grace. I like going to the beach. I don't like getting in the water. Sometimes I get kind of concerned about what's in the water. And these days when you watch the news reports, I'm definitely not getting in the water. But I like being at the beach and I like watching the waves. Have you ever been to the beach and there were no waves? No, I don't think anybody has ever seen no waves, right? When you go to the beach and you look at the ocean, there is what? One wave after another. One wave after another. Folks, that is a picture of grace. Grace upon grace. You think God holds back grace from your life because you messed up? No, no. Paul tells us where sin is, grace abounds much more. It's grace upon grace. Why? Because he did that for me. We receive that grace from him day by day. Isn't that awesome? You say, okay, wait a minute, George, where are we going with this now? Okay, here's where we're going, okay? This is where we're wrapping it up. Okay, so as you are celebrating, what are you celebrating? Family. Yeah, great, great. Food. Awesome. The Y is open on Thursday, okay? But what really are we celebrating? The babe, George. Yeah, okay, the babe. But what does that really mean? John tells us it's a whole lot more than that. It's about the God who has always existed, wanting to have a relationship with you. He's wanted that from the very beginning. And so he came in humble circumstances among that which he created, and we didn't even recognize him. He came among his own special people, and they rejected him. But to those who understand who he is, he establishes a meaningful relationship. And I'm not just talking about any kind of relationship. I'm talking about a parent-child relationship. We are his children. And what does he give us? Grace upon grace. Isn't that awesome? My friends, that's what Christmas is about. That's what we should be saying to ourselves, thank you, Lord, that you came. And you know what? To be honest with you, it also should cause with us an anticipation of something further. What do you mean, something further? That one day he's coming again. And then when he comes again, we will have the closeness that he really desired because we'll be with him. Isn't that awesome? Let's pray.